141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic head to Austria ahead of their Champions League playoff with LASK Linz. Rangers get set to spend £8.5 million on winger Kim Min-soo, and Derek McInnes has his appeal hearing date set as Celtic and Rangers have had their hearing today on last season's Scottish Cup quarter-final violence. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Marvin Bartley and Roger Hannah.
Well, you know me, Andrew. I like a surprise, but it's full of surprises this Monday night. No Gordon Duncan and Andy Halliday on a Monday. Dundee win the Ding Dong City of Discovery Derby with something to spare, the only game of the weekend. The quality of goals, Premiership, Championship, even the Scots and Serie A was stunning all weekend. What a surprise it would be if all five Scottish clubs managed to get into league phase European football this weekend. It could still happen. And the biggest surprise of all, Stenhouse Muir, top of the Championship. It's marvellous, Marvin.
It is marvellous, you're right. Very enjoyable start for us. I think I just saw online it's our best start the club have had. 8 games unbeaten, so credit to the boys, really, really good. But as I say, Roger, is only one way to go now, and that's downwards, mate. So I enjoy it while it lasts.
That's a bit of optimism,
I'm sure the fans will be delighted to hear that, Marvin. That's great.
Yeah, that's just football though, isn't it? Everyone expects us to start going the other way. But it's been brilliant. Honestly, it really, really has. The players have been fantastic. So it's full credit to them.
Cali Thistle at home at the weekend. Cali Thistle, who come up with you last season. You can only throw this title away now.
Yeah, we've got them on Saturday before, obviously, Livingston and the Hearts game in the Premier Sports Cup. So, yeah, listen, Inverness are a really, really good team. We watched them play against, actually, Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle the other day on Friday. They got a really late equaliser. They probably deserve more points than they've got to date, so it's going to be another tough game, as they all are for us. But like I said, the start's been really, really good. Just need to maintain this now for as long as we possibly can.
Is that why you're in on Monday this week? You just couldn't wait to talk about how great Stenhouse Muir were at the weekend?
No, I'm in because Gordon Duncan's not here and you are. So I was like, right, I'll do Monday because I don't want to see him. I had enough banter with him last week after he'd knocked Motherwell out of the cup. So yeah, I'm done with him.
141 951 1025. We are here for you for the next 2 hours. So whatever is on your mind, get your calls in right now. Of course, a big game for Celtic tomorrow against LASK Linz, a 3-0 lead going into that second leg. How are you feeling about it, Celtic fans? Are you confident? Are you cautiously optimistic about it? Martin O'Neill was saying last week that the tie is still in the balance. Do you feel that way? Who needs to start? What should the starting lineup look like? You can let us know on 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, interested to hear your thoughts on Kim Min-soo, who was playing on loan in the Spanish second tier from Girona last season. Looks as if Rangers are getting set to spend £8.5 million on his signature. What do you make of that potential signing? What else does Derek McInnes need to do in the transfer window? His hearing date has been set for his appeal against that ban that has been carried over from last season. Celtic and Rangers have had a hearing today on last season's Scottish Cup quarter-final violence today. Anything else that is on your mind, of course, as Roger mentioned, huge European games later on in the week to add to that Celtic game against LASK Linz. So give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025. You can do that while we get the weekend awards from Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley. Let's start with result of the weekend. Marvin?
I'm going Dundee. In the Dundee derby, a massive, massive game for them. By the way, it was really good to see Simon Murray there as well, who goes under the knife tomorrow for an ACL operation. I actually spoken to him over the weekend, so it was really good to see him joining in the celebrations. But Dundee were absolutely fantastic during that game. Huge derby, as we all know. Again, it's never easy away to Dundee United. No, they don't have to travel that far, but with all Dundee United fans in there and buoyant. So yeah, that is my result of the weekend, Dundee.
I'll just read out this bit of paper you gave me. The result of the weekend was undoubtedly Stenhouse Muir.
Turn that mic up.
A fantastic away win at Hampden in front of Gabriel and thousands of supporters. We are now top of the Championship table. All the best, Marvin.
A managerial masterclass, was it?
Yeah, listen, as a playing masterclass. There's a game that I spoke about after, and I was really worried going into it because, you know, the high of the Motherwell game and what it took out of the players with one less day rest as well, coming into the Queen's Park game. And in the first half, we were good, but we weren't at our usual sharpness. And then, listen, it's one of those things. You look at genius as a manager, you make a double substitution, and both of them play a part in scoring 3 minutes into the second half. And then, yeah, Gregor Buchanan comes on as a captain and scores late for us as well. So the players definitely deserve the win. I think they had one shot on target, maybe. So the players definitely deserve the win. As I said, it was probably more of a mental thing going into that game and getting a win. They showed that they could dig in.
How did you get on with Jim Duffy and the other dugout, two guys that don't mind a wee Barney?
Yeah, I was. Jim was subdued. He's really relaxed guy. Obviously, he's been in and around football so much, and it was good to catch up with him before the game for a little bit, but especially after. And he's very complimentary, which is, you know, massive coming from somebody who's such a high standing within the game. You know, I've got massive respect for Jim, and it was brilliant to see him. He's a lot calmer than Alec Ray was on the side when we played Partick Thistle, so I'll tell you that for free.
Goal of the weekend.
Well, listen, we had so many contenders. I don't know whether you saw Che Adams scoring at the end for Torino against AC Milan. What a goal that was. We could have done some of that at the World Cup in the summer. I don't know where that was, but we'll keep it to the SPFL, and I'm going to go for Dre Wright, the opener for Dundee in the derby at Tannadice, set them the road to victory. And one of the great post-match interviews, I don't know whether you heard the other goal scorer, Owen Bevan, interviewed after the game, and they asked him about Dre Wright's opener. And he says, I was astonished. I've never even seen him do that in training.
Nothing like a little bit of confidence from one of your teammates. I'm going with Dean Black, but I want to mention Gary Oliver just before that. Scored a brilliant goal for Montrose against East Kilbride. Really, really good thing. But sorry, Gary, you're second to Dean Black, young man at Morton. You know, he's kind of been thrown in because of the situation they are in with the injuries and everything else.
16 years old.
Honestly, brilliant. He played against us as well when we played against Morton. He's playing at fullback, and I think naturally he's a centre midfielder, but you know, his goal at the weekend was unbelievable. And rightfully so. You know, he's getting all the plaudits from his teammates and his manager. So listen, sometimes in these situations, stars can come through. And like I said, Dean Black's scored a really, really good goal, and it's a good player for a 16-year-old as well.
Happy with those choices. What about Howler of the weekend?
Well, much as it pains me, I'm going to have to go for United's Leon King. 5 minutes in, red card, off you go at Starks Park against Raith Rovers in the Gordon DL derby. And 10 minutes later, here we're 2-0 down and it was game over.
Red card for you?
Again, reluctantly, through gritted teeth. Probably.
Yeah. I'm going for the individual who threw the object on in the Dundee derby. Something that we don't want to see. Listen, nobody likes losing games of football, but I think, you know, as supporters, we give enough banter to players on the pitch and everything else, which is fine, but that massively overstepped the mark. So yeah, the howler for me, and hopefully this individual is caught if they haven't been caught already, was the person who threw the missile in the Dundee derby.
Top man of the weekend, top performer, Marvin?
Anton Dowd, scoring two goals, obviously really close to De Guimery, and he spoke to me an awful lot about him. Anton kept himself fit during the PFA stuff, which is really, really good for out-of-contract players, and he's just beginning to find his feet now. So yeah, two really, really good goals from him. It's always nicer against your old team as well when it happens. So yeah, Anton Dowd for me is the performance at the weekend.
I could really have picked half a dozen Dundee players. I'll probably go with the guy that get man of the match on the TV, Ryan Astley. Vastly improved from the young man who arrived after being freed by Everton a couple of years ago. Looks a really good centre half for Stephen Presley. After they sold Luke Graham and Billy Kimetio for about £2.5 million, he's come in along with Owen Bevan and seamless.
I can't believe that neither of you have gone for the return of Hugh Keevan. Surely he's got to be up there for man of the weekend. Back after a month out, Friday, Saturday, he was here in top form, and you've both just ignored him.
As soon as you mentioned Hugh, there, something else came to mind. But
well, yeah. Just laughing about an accidental comment he made on Saturday show. Yeah.
That should have got him top performance.
He's
you're
come
right.
Back and he feels like a new man.
Yeah,
he does indeed. Right, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Whatever is on your mind, Celtic's big Champions League playoff game against Lathclans tomorrow. You can let us know how Martin O'Neill should approach that tie. Rangers fans, what about a potential £8.5 million being spent on Kim Min-soo from Girona? A couple of SFA hearings. A date has been set for Derek McInnes. Celtic and Rangers in the dock today for what happened in the Scottish Cup quarter final last season. Some interest when it comes to the Scotland under 21s as well. Tony Docherty has been announced as the new head coach with Stephen Naismith as the assistant. So that might interest some of you out there. 0141 951 1025. Let's kick things off with Robert, who is a Rangers fan in Partick. Robert, how are you?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Robert.
I've been listening every night this week and that, and we're talking about players for Rangers. They were about to sign that PSV Eindhoven player that last week who failed a medical, who was a throw-in goal scorer for PSV Eindhoven in Champions League, et cetera, et cetera. And now, lo and behold, they've jumped 2 feet in at the deep end to try and sign a guy that played in the second division of Spain last season. for $8.5 million. I think that is absolutely ridiculous to be paying that amount of money for a player like that. It's just, I think, better for Leeds to hear about
that. The dog's not happy about it either.
Oh, I'm actually
right, I'll put that to the guys, great. Robert, and I'll let you maybe put the dog outside or something. When it comes to, I mean, it's quite the U-turn, as you know, as Robert mentions it. It was looking as if it was going to be that fee for Kuhab Driek, who, as Robert says, scored a couple of goals at Anfield against Liverpool last season in the Champions League. Scored other Champions League goals. Has played quite a bit of football for PSV. That deal didn't work out. I know there was a bit of debate between Rangers and PSV about the injury state of Kuhab Driek, who looks as if he's now getting another move elsewhere. But Rangers now targeting Kim Min-soo, who isn't as an experienced option. Roger?
Listen, Marvin will tell you, anytime you sign a player, there's an element of gamble to it. It looks to me on the outside as if there would have been less element of gamble paying £7 million for a guy who's scored against Liverpool in the Champions League than there is paying £8.5 million for a guy who was playing for a team in Andorra a year or two back in the second division in Spain. And he's still playing in the second division in Spain because Girona were relegated and he played against Cordoba on Friday night. But, you know, the Rangers fans will just need to trust that the recruitment team, Dan Purdy, Derek McInnes, Jim Gillespie, have called this one right. If they haven't called it right, we'll probably have Robert back on the phone along with other Rangers fans. We'll just have to wait and see. I think Kim Min-soo is expecting the country tomorrow. He's undergone a medical already and might well make a debut against Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Sunday lunchtime. What a debut that is for a new Rangers player.
Because Derek McInnes will be wanting players that can come in and make an instant impact, and yeah, you would guess that Rangers will expect that if they're paying £8.5 million for Kim Min-soo that he is capable of doing that. But also, part of investing that type of fee will be the potential that they feel he must have going forward and what that can do for them, whether it is contributing for Rangers over a number of years or getting a good couple of seasons out of him and then maybe making a profit on him.
Yeah, when you spend that sort of money, you're right, Andrew, that they have to tick a lot of boxes, and one of them is, like you said, instantly coming into the starting 11 and making it better. And the second one is the resale value, which you totally understand. I get Robert's kind of concerns, but in terms of jumping in two-footed, when clubs of that side look at players, they have three or four options. And if you don't get option one for whatever reason it is, this one, it was failing a medical, but it could be they agreed to go somewhere else, you can't get personal terms or the fee's too high, then you have, you know, someone else in line. Rangers wouldn't have just missed out on option one and been like, oh my God, what do we do here? And scramble around. And far too many times Scottish teams have been labelled at doing that, not getting their first option, then it takes a week or 10 days to get somebody else in. I think when teams are being proactive, you have to trust them. As Roger said there's an element of risk to all signings that you do make. But Rangers aren't making this off the back of, you know, somebody failing a medical, you know, over the last couple of days they've looked at other players. He would have been on the list all the time. And it's about, you know, how much can you get value for money? And they probably thought the first one was better at £7 million. But I've got no doubt about it. They believe in this guy coming in, you know, improving the first team, as I said, and having a resale value.
Something you said there, Andrew, about, you know, they maybe see him making money on him in the future. See, just now, that should be a million miles for Rangers' ideas. You know, everybody loves a player trading model. Great, let's have a player trading model. Let's buy low and sell high. Fantastic. Rangers' priority should be to win some silverware for Robert and their other fans. They've won one league out of 15. Now, they're signing Kim Min-soo. Kim Min-soo might win them the league. I've no idea. But it seems to me to be a very expensive gamble on a young player in the hope that they might make money on the young player. Rangers and Derek McInnes this summer should be signing players who can win the league this season, not signing players who might be good in 3 or 4 years' time and they can sell them at a profit then, because in 3 or 4 years' time, Celtic might have won another 3 or 4 leagues.
So would you rather see more experienced options coming in, Robert?
I was just about to say, we need experience. We've signed Draganovic for, I think he's 20, new right back, who's what, 20? But there's no experience. We want somebody like 26, 27 who's been about the block, done it and seen it and maybe won things. You look at Celtic, example, the guy who up front, who's one of the Golden Glint, scored in the Champions League. Duran scored for Faraway. They're up and running. We're signing project players. This is ridiculous. I mean, we've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years, project players, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, signing Chermiti for $10 million was ridiculous. I don't rate the guy at all, even though they got offered 20 million, whatever it was they got offered.
It doesn't look so ridiculous a year down the line when Rangers get offered potentially double the fee that they paid for Yusuf Chirmiti. Obviously, it didn't work out in terms of, you know, selling him or whether Rangers would have kept him this season and would have seen how he got on. But essentially, Rangers are taking a gamble on potential. But with Robert saying that when it comes to wanting more experienced players, it's not as if Rangers haven't signed experienced players. That almost seemed the focus at the start of the window. And you had some supporters saying that they almost focused too much on players that had been captains and leaders elsewhere and had experience of the Scottish Premiership or knew what Rangers were like.
It's all about your priority. Is your priority to win the league or is your priority to make money on young players? Rangers' priority should be to win the league. It's like Marv brought Stenhouse Buer into the Championship. You can feed this thing, you know. I'm quite sure Marvin would love to blood 17 and 18 and 19 year olds and it would be absolutely fantastic. But he mentioned the name at the top of the show, Gregor Buchanan, off the bench, club captain, help them. You know, for every young kid who you might bring in loan or you might sign, you might try and bring through, if you have a team full of them, you won't do very well in any league. You need to have a proper balance in the team. And you know, Rangers' priority this season should be winning silverware under Derek McInnes. Otherwise, it's just going to be a rinse and repeat thing.
Well, thank you to Robert. What about Gillian, who's a Rangers fan in Sandy Hills? What are you thinking tonight, Gillian?
Hi, I'm just... The situation with Shankland, I had high hopes of him being a goal scorer and whatnot and being made captain, and he's just no played... much games because he's not been scoring the way he did for Hearts. But
I'll put that to the guys, Gillian, because I mean, Lorna Shankly came in and looked to be, despite the fact that, you know, didn't come in for a big fee, Marvin was probably targeted as one of Rangers', you know, marquee signings this summer. Came in from Hearts, had been their captain, their top goal scorer, almost led them to a league title, which didn't happen in the end. But he's maybe not started or played that key role that maybe some supporters would have been expecting in the early weeks of the season.
Yeah, but like you said there, it's the early weeks. You know, we're at the start of the season and already a man who scored so many goals and was so pivotal to Hearts last season has already been written off. And like I said, we love to do this, don't we, as football fans. We also have to remember that Lawrence was away at the World Cup, so his pre-season was disrupted. You know, and then you're trying to give the players the right amount of time off to make sure that they, you know, come back and they're injury free and they have that freshness, but also, you know, they're ready to go at the start of the season. We see it with so many players, you know, talking about players that go to for close to £100 million. At the start, it's really, really difficult off the back of a major tournament because of the disruption it does have for the players in the summer. I've got no doubt about it. Lawrence Shankland will score goals for Rangers. Has he had the best of starts? No. The team hasn't had the best of starts. And sometimes you can get away with that as a striker. If a team's winning in and around you, no one's really worried about you. But the spotlight is on him at the moment because, one, as Gillian said there, he is the captain. And two, he's not hit the ground running. But listen, I think in 4 weeks' time, you'll look back and Lawrence will be absolutely fine. And, you know, Rangers will start firing on all cylinders, which they're not doing at this moment in time.
Ryan Adeeri seems to certainly be ahead in the pecking order over the last couple of games anyway. It's a small sample size.
It's a small sample size. And I think Gillian, you'll agree, if you want Lauren Shankly to score goals, somebody's going to have to create an opportunity for him. Rangers haven't exactly been tearing open defences and creating chances for their strikers. And Adeeri has scored against St Mirren and against Jablonec. So I would imagine he would lead the line in the Czech Republic on Thursday night. For me, Shankland's a far better player. I think I agree with Marv. I think Shankland will come through. But somebody in that team, whether it's a new winger, Kim Min-soo, whether it's Yokota, whether it's Kisama or Curtis or Asgard or Raskin or whoever, they're going to have to start creating chances for Shankland and for the other strikers. Otherwise, it's going to be a very long season.
Are you hoping, Ryan, Lauren Shankland starts on Thursday, Gillian?
I'm not really panicking. I know he's just arrived at the club and they've changed their attacking set up.
I suppose that like Rangers' formation has switched about a lot as well, and Derek McInnes hasn't really sorted out the balance yet of whether it's going to be, you know, one up front or whether it's going to be two up front. So that's probably not going to help when it comes to the decision making of who's either the number nine or whether there's two players up there.
Yeah, Roger just mentioned it there. Someone has to supply, you know, the ball for Lawrence Shankland to put it in the back of the net. He's not going to pick up the ball 60 yards from goal and dribble past people and fire it in the top corner. But if you put that ball in and around the box, then we'll get on the end of it. You know, you mentioned it there. They've had a change in formation, I think, in every game. And it's been 4-4-2 at times with, you know, one winger on one side and an attacking midfielder on the other. And it's become a little bit imbalanced. I think when you look at the transfers that Rangers are looking now to do and the way that they do want to play, I think it will go back to playing with wingers, with one up front and maybe one underneath. And Lawrence Shankland can fit into either of them. One thing he does need in and around him, though, is legs. It's going to be absolutely pivotal to him as a player that he has players that can run in behind and disrupt it, and he can drop in the pockets and then pick the ball up. If you don't have legs at the top end, then it kind of stifles what he can do.
Thank you to Gillian. 01419511025. Call us now. You could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are looking ahead to Celtic's tie with Lask Linz, the second leg of that Champions League playoff tomorrow night. Celtic have flown off to Austria today. So Celtic fans, any thoughts on that game? What Martin O'Neill should do with the team? Just generally how you're feeling going into that match. 01419511025. Maybe you want to talk transfer business. Rangers fans, what about £8.5 million potentially being spent on Kim Min-soo? There's a couple of hearings taking place. One of them, Celtic and Rangers having that hearing on last season's Scottish Cup quarter-final violence. Derek McInnes has had his appeal hearing date set for the ban that sort of carried over from last season. Anything else that's on your mind? 01419511025. Brian is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, how are you?
Very well. Good evening, lads.
Hi, Brian.
Brilliant. First of all, before we get started, I just want to say it was great to see Hugh back at the weekend, and I hope to again to retain our juicing through the season. Good to see him back, though. It's good to see him. You know, some of my pals will be wondering what I'm talking about. But anyway, I want to talk about the game tomorrow night. First of all, touch on the first game. I mean, I'm going with the fact that I was there at the game and I watched this team. They are a great side, which leads me to think maybe we're a great side because we got the better of them with great shots. The three goals, each one of them could have been a man in the match, a goal scorer and best goal. But the whole team played absolutely fantastic. And what Martin's building on, you know, as Celtic fans, we've been a bit starved, and that sounds a bit entitled, and I don't want to come across as entitled. But when you look at the windows that we've had and the way that the board, and much maligned as they should be for three or four windows, even although when we win the league and win the cups, you still aren't pushing the way that they're pushing now. If they can do that now, they could have done that 18 months ago when we stepped off the pitch at Bayern Munich. We could have had an 18 months of building up a European tie, a European pedigree again with the players like who? Like Duran, you know, the boys that are coming in, Mamic, if that's is to be believed. These are the kind of players that I would have been hoping that the guys who are doing it, and you've got to say, if they're much maligned, when they do the right thing, the board are doing the right thing, they've got to be applauded. So if we can continue this, to find these players who are hitting the ground running, coming into the, hopefully tomorrow night, because as far as I'm concerned, like every Celtic supporter I spoke to, coming out of the ground, wow, that was amazing to win 3-0 against such a great side. So if we have good sides that we've got to play in the Champions League in the group, we've got to build the team that can compete and beat, not compete in glorious failure, not compete and then lose it in the first last minute, but by playing and taking these chances like we've done at Celtic Park the other night there.
Because Celtic have spent money in previous windows, but there just seems to be a bit of a change of tact, Roger, and possibly the profile of player are going for. It was maybe in previous windows they'd gone for players that were maybe slightly younger at maybe a slightly lower price range, whereas the players that have come in this window, they've all come in for significant fees. A lot of them just have that pedigree about them. Kasper Hu, Camilo Duran, as Brian says, have scored goals in the Champions League. There just seems to be a different way of doing things this window.
It's back to what we said at the top of the show when you spoke about Rangers transfers. They're lessening the gamble. If you spend £11 million on a guy who scored goals in the Champions League phase, then it's less of a gamble than going and getting somebody on loan as they did with Javanchera and Adamu in previous windows. Same with Camille Duran, the CV tells you he scored goals for Karabag in the Champions League phase. He's going to be a decent player. Haseem Hassan, you saw him against Argentina at the World Cup. He's going to be a decent player. Celtic seem to do a lot of work, preparatory work, looking at Mika Bauer. Now, people think he's a replacement for Engels because he arrived the day Engels left. He's not a replacement for Engels. He's a different type of player. He'll be more of a successor to Hitati, I would have thought. But looks a decent player from what you saw last Wednesday night against LASK at Celtic Park. So they're buying players at a higher price and lessening the gamble. They've all hit the ground running. And I think once they get the game out of the way tomorrow, they'll go through. Brian will tell you, they'll go through. I know LASK are a decent team. Celtic will not blow a 3-goal lead in Austria tomorrow night. I think the second wave of Celtic spending will come next. It'll include probably a right back because of Alistair Johnson's injury. They'll be covered at left back for Kieran Tierney. There will be the Engels replacement, probably Vitas Janidis of Torino. There'll be a goalie.
He was the one that set up Che Adams' goal.
He was, the set piece.
Can't get an assist for that. I mean, any of us, we could have.
You'd still be claiming that. I bet you've played a sideways 5-yard pass that someone smashed at the top corner, and you're claiming 100%.
I made a tackle at Celtic Park that fell to John McGinn, who smashed it into the goal. My mates were like, "You got an assist?" I was like, "Yeah, I got an assist." Obviously, didn't see it. Sorry, Roger, to interrupt.
No, not at all. But I think the second wave of spending will come, and Celtic supporters like Brian will hope the second wave of spending this summer is as successful as the first wave looks to have been.
Yeah, that will be such a big positive for the Celtic supporters and for Martin O'Neill and his staff, that the early impact that these players have had so far. Kasper Hu scoring a hat-trick against Kilmarnock, Camilla Duran scoring two absolute screamers in the game last week, Mika Bauer being thrown straight into things, really one sub-appearance and then playing in a Champions League playoff game. We're yet to see too much from Haseem Hassan because he's only had, you know, a couple of brief substitute appearances, but bringing players in who have been able to make an instant impact, it not only, you know, is a good sign going forwards, but it maybe helps with the sort of confidence and the belief in the supporters like Brian.
Yeah, it's huge to the dressing room as well. When you're bringing in players like we've spoken about that can come in and impact the starting 11 straight away, I think it's a massive lift for everyone else in and around it. When you bring in kind of projects and you think, oh, will he take somebody's place? Will he not? These players are coming in and are coming into play. So the players that are ahead of them at this moment in time have to step their game up. The players that are behind them, you have to raise your game to even have a chance of playing. So Celtic fans had to be patient with the board and the manager had to be patient in terms of bringing players in. But when he's done his business, it's been really, really good. And I agree with Roger. Once they go through in the Champions League, there'll be a second wave of players that, again, will come in to impact the start in 11. And that's the key thing for Martin O'Neill. It's no longer about projects. The player trading model has been absolutely fantastic for Celtic in recent years. But now he wants ready-made players that can go into the Champions League and attack it to the best of Celtic's ability, but also clean up domestically.
Brian, how's that team looking tomorrow? Does it need to be similar to the starting 11 from last week?
Well, we need to ride our luck the same as what we did last week, but we need to play as good as we can play the same as we did last week. Now, you know, like any kind of draw would be great, even like a 1-0 loss would be great, but I see us scoring as well because we have recruited so well, and it's not just the recruitment, it's the genuine gelling of players arriving at the door and saying, you know, I've been convinced by this man. Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney and Fozzie have done miracles last year. They are now being allowed the tools to build for this year. Now, you know, they've had the pre-season. Martin had his wee bit of illness. You know, you've had a wee bit of distractions. But I believe Martin O'Neill is such a, I don't want to say bloody-minded, but he's so concentrated and focused on what he wants. And he sees the type of player in the pattern in the system that he does, and he goes and gets them. Now that's Michael Nicholson's got to be applauded, and a lot of my pals that are going over, and I want to wish the Pomets Day, St Ninian's Pomets Day boys all the best and have a great, safe, wonderful winning trip. But the important thing here is that it's not about, you know, what we've done before in Europe. This is a whole new ball game. If we can get to a level, and I've been begging, hoping and praying in years gone by, that we can lift it to a level, no disrespect to our opponents in Scotland, of just being just far enough in front to win. Last year shows you that what can happen in an anomaly season. I'm not saying Derek McInnes, you know, like blew it or you know, like Hearts blew it. What I'm saying is things. If you don't step up and go to that next level, even half a level in a season to go up, you are running the risk of allowing a Tony Bloom type system to come in and Hearts winning. You're allowing them, you know, that system that, that whatever Rangers are doing just now to come in and then challenge you. We don't want to be that. We want to be the team that goes to the next level, that can win in Scotland, and I don't mean easy, because nothing's easy, but who can compete in the Champions League, especially with the format that we've got, you know, with the 8 and 8 and 8. So I just think it's a very exciting time for it to be a Celtic fan again. And last year was off the chart excitement, but I don't want that. You know, I'm 59. I don't want to be getting to the last minute of the last minute. I want things done professionally. And we had the time prior to it, and this is where I'm again going to praise the board. We had that time prior to the season finishing, and Rangers were rushing out, and you know, and everybody's going, right, okay, so now we put them up front. Whereas Celtic were clearly doing a professional job of keeping it out the papers, keeping it off the radio, keeping it away from the fans, boom, 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 job's done, and then you can, you know, move forward. That's the kind of, like, boardroom level, you know, interjection that I want. I don't want my boardroom guys to be on the back pages. I don't want to be them sung about.
You're clearly reading the wrong papers, because my paper had all four signings long before they arrived, Brian.
Did, pal, but I'm not going to put you up there above everybody.
No, it's David Friel you need to put up, not me. But listen, what it does show, Brian, is the greatest truism in football: if results are going well on the field, everything else is forgotten about. You said there Michael Nicholson deserves immense praise. That's a phrase I've never heard in this show before.
That's the first time anyone has said that.
We haven't heard a lot from the Celtic Fans Collective. We haven't heard a lot from the Green Brigade complaining about the way the clubs run. We haven't seen any of the pictures with the red lines through people's faces demanding the removal of people.
They were still at the front of the North Curve corner on Tuesday night, though.
I'll give you that. The criticism has quietened simply because the results on the pitch are good. Every game, Dundee, Kilmarnock, Dundee United in the Cup, the European game against Lask, every result this season has been a positive for Celtic. And when you see the signings flourish the way they're flourishing and things like that are going well. And then, by the way, money's coming in. 22 million for Engels, 10 for Maeda, money for Lewis Palmer, money for Navrotsky. So the money's coming in as well, and the team's looking immensely strong compared to last season.
Well, thank you to Brian. 0141 951 1025. If you've got something on your mind, get your calls in while I tell you about this.
Clyde One
on Friday. Jane was just hopping off her motorbike when the call came in to say she'd won £650,000 on Make Me a Winner. For your chance to be our next winner and end your August with £700,000 tax-free, get your entry in right now. Enter now, text YES to 61025, text or 250, or grab five entries for a five, or text MEGA to 61025 for that. Standard network rate supply is over 18s only. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition there. Lines closed at 5 o'clock on Friday, and someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone, simple as that, and £700,000 is yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep your calls coming on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, looking at the biggest talking points from across the weekend in Scottish football, which seemed to be a bit more interesting than the biggest talking points in English football across the weekend, because in Sky Sports News, they've just done a feature on previous players that have shaved their hair, because Erling Haaland shaved his long hair over the weekend and came out at the Manchester City game with...
What made you look at
pretty
that?
Much your...
What made you look at that? What was happening during the show when you were looking at that?
It must have been during the break or something, I think.
I don't think it was, mate. But yeah, I know, that was really, really strange. And the best thing about it is some of the players that featured in that kind of segment as well, they were forced to cut their hair because the hair was coming out. Like, it wasn't like they made a haircut. Freddie Ljungberg being one of them. Yeah, his had to go because it was kind of receding very, very quickly. But yeah, it must have been really boring down there for them to show that. But
the one thing that I did enjoy from the English football over the weekend was when Hull were beating Manchester United, and I can only imagine what it must be like as a Manchester United fan being 2-0 down to Hull City and you've got the Hull City fans chanting, "You're getting mauled by the Tigers" while doing the gesture. That's got to be the most rattling thing on the planet. Your team are losing a game that you shouldn't be losing, and you've got the away fans. Dude, that cannot be good for you.
Well, two things, Andrew. First of all, I'm very glad you didn't ask me about the hair. It's not really an area of expertise for me. But the better one was near the end of the Hull game. I watched it started at lunchtime when the Tannoy announcer at the stadium announced that all trains to Manchester had been cancelled, and the Hull fans started singing, "You're going home in a taxi."
I didn't mind that either. That's quite good. There is some breaking news coming out of Martin O'Neill's press conference that he's doing before the last Lince game. He's confirmed that Alistair Johnston will be out until around October. So looks as if it could be, whether that's 6 weeks, a couple of months for Alistair Johnston, that will be a big loss.
A huge loss for Celtic. He missed so much of last season with a hamstring injury. You saw in Canada's World Cup campaign what he can bring to the team. Started well in that home game against Dundee, 45 minutes against Kilmarnock. And, you know, the most surprising thing, normally when you see these injuries, and it's happened with Alistair in the past, you know, players go down and, you know, they come off, they're either helped off or they're stretchered off, they're having, you know, there's an injury. When he went off at half-time in the Killie game, there was no inkling when he went off the park that he was injured. So I think the assumption initially had been, oh, he'll be back next week. Yep. Clearly, there's a problem there for Alistair Johnston. I thought Colby Donovan was terrific against last Wednesday night. He will start in Austria tomorrow. But it still looks to me, you know, from what we're hearing, Celtic are looking for a right back.
Let's speak to Jordan, who's a Rangers fan, and Cooper. Jordan, what have you got for us tonight?
Evening, Andrew, Marvin, Roger.
Evening, Jordan.
I don't think that Hull was actually the biggest shock defeat in the past 2 weeks, was it, Marv?
Well, Mealy's not beating the pundit.
I think Gordon's avoiding you at the moment.
Oh, no, I did manage to see him. I sent him a couple of pictures as well. I didn't pick up to my FaceTime, but slowly but surely we got there. We're back to being friends again.
Although just he's been not texting him every single day.
Yeah, definitely on all forms of social media and WhatsApp as well. So we got there in the end, Jordan.
Good. Keep it up, man. That's what I like to hear.
Top man.
Basically, I was phoning up to ask Marv a couple of things. Nothing against Roger. Just you can have a bit of input. But I'm a bit disappointed to see the nuking of all these Scottish players at Rangers at the moment. A lot of these players that we have at the moment, this is probably their fourth manager that they've played under in less than maybe just over a year. They probably don't know where they're standing, what they're doing right now, who they signed under maybe three previous managers before, and then now they're getting shown the door. Conor Barron, I would definitely keep him. I think we're foolish letting Conor Barron go. Boy Cameron, I would probably still keep a hold of him because we're going to need these people later on in the week. Marvin, what would you do? Would you take the same approach as what Rangers are doing and just looking all these youths out and...
I think as a manager, you try and put the best first team together, so starting 11 together and then the best squad. So, listen, I agree with you in terms of Barron. I thought whenever he's played for Rangers, I think he's done well in a lot of the games, definitely. I think when you bring in Cammy Devon, they're very, very similar in terms of what they do on the pitch. So it's like you've got two very, very similar players that, again, you don't need that type in every single game when you are Rangers. So it doesn't make sense to have both of them. You know, players want to go and play first team football ultimately. So you might have gone into the manager and said, "Where do I fit in here?" And he's like, "Right, you're behind this player and that player." And they shake hands and he says, "Listen, it's probably best I go, whether it's on loan or a permanent." Lyle Cameron is a difficult one. You know, when you are that creative type of player and you are playing for Rangers, you're expected to do it game in, game out. And he's shown in glimpses that he can do it. He definitely showed at Dundee that he was a top player, but the pressures are very, very different when it comes to playing for Rangers. So Derek McInnes needs to come in now and put his own stamp on things. So if he sees that players are surplus to requirement, the best thing is to get them out the door and give them a fair opportunity to go and play football elsewhere. Like I said, whether that's a loan, whether that's a permanent.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting set of circumstances because at the start of the window, you have Andrew Kavanagh saying that Rangers are going to have a Scottish bias to the transfer window. They're going to try and get more Scottish players in. If there are two players that, you know, compare and are very similar, that they'll probably go for the Scottish player. But then there are also players, you know, the ones Jordan is mentioning, Conor Barron, Lyle Cameron, John Souter, another one as well, who, you know, seem surplus to requirements. But Derek McInnes has had them in the building. He's had a look at them and clearly they also need to be deemed good enough by Derek McInnes to be in their squad going forward.
it's back to priorities. What I said earlier on about this, you know, the player trading model, what's more important, a player trading model or winning the league? So what's more important, a Scottish core of players or a team that can win the league? You know, there's been a lot of things said by Andrew Kavanagh and the ownership group since he came into the football club. We want this player trading model. We want to get young players in. We want to sell, you know, buy low and sell high. We want a core of Scottish players. We want, this senior leadership group. We want, just get a team in the park that's going to contest for silverware. That's what Rangers fans want. They don't want all the bells and whistles. Rangers fans will tell you they've suffered enough in the last 15 years. Celtic have won 14 league titles. And a lot of the time, you know, the different owners of Rangers, different managers of Rangers have come up with all these great sound bites. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Just strip it all back. Just get a team that's going to contest to win the league. Because at the minute, the team you've got in the park doesn't look as if it's going to be able to compete with the team that Celtic have got in the park.
Jordan, what do you think about the potential signing of Kim Min-soo for £8.5 million?
Oh, well, I've just done a little bit of research while I was waiting to come on there. I don't know if Roger remembers. I think it was 2 weeks ago, Roger, we spoke, remember, about the Chermiti situation, yeah. And I said I wouldn't have played him.
Yeah.
And did I not say I think it was his ACL, yeah, and it would be out for... And that's the player trading model that you've just discussed there is now blown right out the window, because apparently we were offered £22 million. That was a profit. Now we're having to dip back into our pocket to bring more people in to replace players that are now injured, which we could have made a profit on. I understand football's a business as well. I'm sure the 59ers, will be in this to make money. They won't be in this just to keep the Rangers fans happy. So for them to just turn away that profit for Chermiti was kind of a bit mind-blowing for me. But on Kim, I think he scored 19 goals in 84 games. And we're going to spend £8.5 million on this guy that's kind of unproven. He's played at Girona B. He's not really been in the Girona A team. Why don't we go and dip in and try and get Cherny or Seema, people that have actually proven to do this at Rangers, that are more or less surplus to requirements at the clubs they're at? I'm sure £8.5 million could get Cherny or Seema away from either of their clubs. We lowballed on that guy, the other guy from Brighton. We offered them £7.5 million and they told us no. But now we're going to Girona and offering them £8.5 million. I just think it's dead scattered on the way we're doing business. It doesn't make any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to how they're doing things. We're overloading the middle of the park and we're being left very light at the back and the front. I said, Roger, I didn't think Fernandez's head was in wanting to be at the club. How's the past 2 weeks done for his performances? Not very well, has it? I don't think he wants to be there. I think his head's been turned through summer. Somebody's told him there's offers elsewhere, I think by Leverkusen. And he's just one of the examples that I said of players that don't want to be there anymore. I think now we're getting stuck with players that don't want to be there because they want to be making money, more money elsewhere, and they've been offered it. And now we are turning it down. Hence the Chermiti situation that we're in now.
Well, thank you to Jordan. I should say it's the 49ers and not the 59ers, but we did have a previous caller that mentioned something else that we probably best not getting into. I think we should just play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you hear your Scottish Sun colleague David Friel last night?
Did I hear? He was texting me live.
I'm not surprised.
You aware of this, Marv?
No.
He got the 10.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow. And you didn't call up and say that something was wrong with it?
No, because...
Wow.
it was bona fide. I mean, he gave 10 correct answers as opposed to your 9. He just texted the words, first 10.
Oh, that's
and
class.
I thought, what's he talking about? Yeah.
No context.
BTP. BTP.
You would have hated it as well because one of the questions was, spell Nedeljkovic.
Yeah, I would have passed. So
yeah, that's the type of question you hate.
Yeah, yeah.
You got it right. You got all 10. So can Roger Hanna or Marvin Bartley get a 10 tonight? Or maybe you could get a 10. 01419511025 to play Beat the Pundit. Get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're looking ahead to a big week of European action for our Scottish clubs. Five in action in total, starting with Celtic against Lasklins tomorrow. Alistair Johnson is going to be out until October, according to Martin O'Neill. Austin Trusty didn't train today, but Martin O'Neill has confirmed that he has travelled and should be okay for that game. So Celtic fans, any thoughts ahead of tomorrow's match? 0141 951 1025. We've had a bit of chat about Rangers transfer business, the fact that it looks as if they're going to spend £8.5 million on winger Kim Min-soo. Anything else that is on your mind between now and 8 o'clock, get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. We're going to play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big act to follow, as we mentioned. David Friel getting a 10 yesterday. And my sheet says that you're sitting in the relegation playoff spot, second bottom. Didn't know that was a thing.
I've played one game.
And you've lost one game.
Oh, man, honestly.
That was after your unbeaten season last season, and you've played one, lost one this season.
I was extremely flustered in here last week. It was roasting hot, so I'm glad they've dealt with the temperature in here. I arrived maybe 3 seconds before the show started, and I know it's an hour into the show, but I just hadn't calmed down by that point, so that's my excuse.
You know what's good about you saying all that? You have no excuses tonight then, because everything's been sorted.
Ready to roll tonight.
Yep.
Definitely.
You get any excuses in, Roger?
No.
No? Ready to go?
Yeah.
What about you, John?
As always.
And East Kilbride?
Hi, well, I'm in Edinburgh Airport tonight, guys, but yeah.
Where are you off to?
Getting a flight over to Vienna, heading over to see Celtic versus Linz.
Nice.
Right, we'll get into that after Beat the Pundit and get your thoughts on the game and your journey. How do you normally get on Beat the Pundit? Have you played before?
I have played before. I got beat off of Andy Halliday last time.
Okay.
I mean, Andy, there's no Andy's shame in that, John.
Yeah.
He's good.
I like the way John's got the whole airport behind him, though. This is going to be a tough one for Roger.
Who would you rather face out of Marvin Bartley or Marvin Bartley?
Me enough, to be honest, but we'll give it a go.
He's in form.
Right, it'll be the blue side of the coin for Marvin Bartley. It'll be the red side for Roger Hanna. And it is the red side for Roger Hanna.
Good luck, John.
So, we'll put something else in the ear of Roger so he cannot hear us. And for you, John, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Okay, good.
Let's go for it. Which Scotland international signed the same day as Harry Maguire for Hull in 2017?
Andy Robson.
Name any Scottish club to Jose Olasanya's played for?
Hibs.
Rangers side Emmanuel Fernandez from which English side?
Sunderland.
Which Dundee side is older?
Dundee FC.
Name any Scottish international since 2010 who's made an appearance for Newcastle?
Pass.
Who are Scotland's next opponents?
Greece.
What did you say there, John?
Greece.
Okay, we will bring Roger Hanna back in. Can you hear us, Roger?
Yes.
30 seconds for Roger Hanna. Let's go. Which Scotland international signed the same day as Harry Maguire for Hull City in 2017? Name any Scottish club to Jose Olasanya has played for?
Aberdeen.
Rangers signed Emmanuel Fernandez from which English side?
Peterborough.
Which Dundee side is older?
Dundee.
Name any Scottish international since 2010 who has made an appearance for Newcastle?
Gary Caldwell.
Who are Scotland's next opponents?
Slovenia.
Manchester United player Jacob Devaney has signed for which Premiership club on loan? In what decade did McDermott Park open?
McDermott Park opened in the 1990s.
Okay, how do you think that went, John?
I think Rogers get full marks.
Right, we will go through them. Which Scotland international signed the same day as Harry Maguire for Hull City in 2017? You both said Andy Robertson. You both got it correct. So John goes one up because Roger, of course, starts on minus one. But he got that back in the next question. Name any Scottish club to Jose Olasanya has played for. John went for Hibs, but they are not one of the three. You could have had Aberdeen, you could have had St Mirren, or you could have had a loan spell at Arbroath. Rangers signed Emmanuel Fernandez from which English side? John didn't get it, but Roger did. It is Peterborough, so Roger goes one ahead. Which Dundee side are older? Of course, out of Dundee or Dundee United. You both went for Dundee. You both got it correct. Dundee formed in 1893. Dundee United 1909. So Roger stays.
Unlucky I didn't get that question.
Would you have been miles off it? It's no idea.
You see, the wording of that question, the first thing that sprung to mind, the average age of both squads.
I mean, honestly, you know what? Fair enough. Honestly, it's not that, as silly as it sounds.
Yeah.
It's not as silly as it sounds. And the thing is, you could have just accidentally got it right as well. Name any Scottish international since 2010 who's made an appearance for Newcastle. John Past. You went for Gary Caldwell.
Is it like Matt Ritchie? No.
Never made an appearance for Newcastle, despite the fact he was there.
Oh.
So I'm told by a producer between 2001 and 2004. You could have had Grant Hanley, Matt Ritchie, Ryan Fraser, Stuart Finlay, who made appearance. So Roger stays one ahead. Who are Scotland's next opponents? John went for Greece. Roger went for Slovenia, which is correct. Roger goes two ahead. Man United player Jacob Devaney has signed for which Premiership side on loan? Roger said Hibs. Hibs is correct. So he goes three ahead, and you've got one more question in. In what decade did McDermott Park open? You deliberated. You said the 90s. It was 1989. So you were just out, but still wrong. So it is a 5-2 win for Roger Hanna. Unlucky, John.
Hey, at least you never got full marks. I'm glad of that.
That's true.
Aye, thanks, John.
Good man, John.
I hope your flight's delayed.
You're looking forward to the trip, John?
Yeah, I'm just happy that we got a result last week, and it looks, I mean, hopefully that's one foot in, but you never know with Celtic. We just want to get a goal and then hopefully take it from there. But yeah, happy to be in this position.
Are you still feeling quite cautious? That's what Martin O'Neill was quite quick to say after the game on Wednesday night. He's, you know, I think in his first answer he was saying that the tie's still on the balance. Do you kind of feel that way, or are you feeling relatively comfortable with a 3-0 scoreline?
No, see, when I was looking at them last week, I thought anytime that Lask went forward, they looked dangerous. So obviously we played well, and defensively we've done really good, but we need to be defensively sound. I do think they'll score though. Like, I just have this feeling that a goal's in it for them. But yeah, they've got really quick players, and they're just fortunate the offside flag went up. We need to be on our toes.
You would expect that, just given the way that the game on Wednesday night played out, that, or you'd be surprised anyway if there weren't goals tomorrow night.
Yeah, there's going to be goals for sure. I agree with John's assessment of the first leg. I thought last week were really, really good. The Celtic goals were top draw, all three of them, and some of the performance from Celtic's players were really, really good as well. But they have to, you know, as a minimum, hit those heights again in the away leg. The first goal's going to be vital, isn't it? Listen, if Lask get it early doors within the first 15 or 20 minutes, it could become a difficult evening. But Celtic have more than enough quality. They're going to score goals. There's no doubt about it. Going forward, they'll score. Both teams are going to score. And for me, Celtic are going to go through, which would be fantastic for Scottish football.
Roger spent the last couple of minutes on his phone, and I'm just wondering whether you've been Googling whether Gary Caldwell made an appearance for Newcastle or not. Oh,
I was Googling about McDermott Park. I was just trying to show
I knew he was going to be trying to dispute one of the answers. I have double-checked the Gary Caldwell one. He was there for a few years but never made an appearance. So
trust the producers.
You can sleep soundly tonight.
Oh, I definitely don't trust the producers. That's beyond argument.
John, similar team to last week. I think Austin Trusty is fit and available despite the fact he didn't train yesterday or train today. Is it same 11 again? Would you change anything up?
No, I would go with the exact same 11. I thought there was no player there that was... they didn't do their part. I think the same 11 will be playing.
Would you go along with that, Roger?
Yeah, I don't think anyone deserves to be left out. Certainly, I don't think young Kobe Donovan deserves to be left out.
See on that, with Alistair Johnson being out until potentially October, are you pretty convinced that Celtic will go into the market for a right back, despite the fact that Kobe Donovan played very well the other night? They've got Anthony Ralston there as backup.
I think they've been looking anyway through the close season. I think there was an anticipation that Alistair Johnson would be sold, maybe to an Everton or to a Fulham. I wondered about Julian Araujo coming back. He's got a medium-term injury as well. I'm out. I mean, there was chat last week that on Celtic's list was Kostas Nedeljkovic. Mm-hmm. How do you spell that, Mark? That Rangers, you know, ultimately got on loan from Aston Villa. They talk about the lad Sigur, the Hajduk Split has been mentioned as well, who can play in at right back. So I think they are looking, but if it's not one that gets ticked off by the 3rd of September and the transfer window closing, I think Donovan could serve them well.
Thank you to John on 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Paddy is up next in Moss Park. Paddy, how are you?
Not too bad, yourselves?
Good, thank you. What are you thinking ahead of this game tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm obviously really looking forward to it. It's obviously a really good scoreline going into a second leg. I know it's obviously a difficult game going into in terms of how physical the team at Lask were last week, in terms of the overtop through balls they had. I thought we dealt with it really well though last week, in terms of where positions we were in, with the two goals obviously got in the first half. And I thought we just nullified them sometimes as well. And they obviously did have their chances, but it's all about that first goal. If we get an early goal, then I think that's the tie done for me.
Yeah, it's how Celtic then approach this game, because when you go in with what is a convincing lead, do you go in and try and protect that lead? Do you go in and try and get that early goal that just completely puts the tie to bed? It's the types of things that Celtic will have to weigh up going into it.
Yeah, I think when Celtic are as good as they are going forward, I think you go into it as if it's a 0-0.
Just shoot from anywhere. Last week.
The way that they were shooting, 100%. I think that's just the Celtic way, isn't it? I don't think they're a team that are set up to sit in and try and counter-attack, etc. Because it's really, really difficult from a manager's point of view if you set them up that way and you concede the first goal to then try and flip the mindset. And if you concede the second goal, you know, as Paddy's saying there, it becomes really difficult. Celtic will score goals tomorrow. If they go out and play exactly the same way they played in the first leg, chances will come at both ends. There's no doubt about it. But listen, one goal for Celtic takes them through, you know, which will be more than enough. And Martin O'Neill will be telling his players that, go out there, be ruthless, you know, impose yourself on this game and come away with a win. That's what he'll be saying to them.
And it plays into Celtic's hands as well, Andrew, because Lasko will have to be more cavalier than they were last week. I actually thought they were quite cavalier for an away team coming to Celtic Park.
They'll have to be the ball in the net within about 20 seconds.
They'll have to be even more offensive tomorrow night. And what that does is it can play into Celtic's hands because it leaves more gaps. And you see the way Duran played last week. Yang can be a dangerous player on the break, who is obviously a threat going forward as well. So I think Celtic have done the majority of their work. I heard Daz and Killian, who was at last Thursday night, arguing in percentages. Well, it was through Killian was going, I think, 85. The caller went 75. And Daz went 100%.
Well, what we've also realised from the Beat the Pundit leaderboard, that Gordon DL doesn't have a clue how percentages work, despite the fact that he doesn't realise that when he loses a game, his percentage is going to go down.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much we need to take from that, really.
Well, I need to find out tomorrow night. You're on the show tomorrow night with him. We need to give a percentage how he rated the Edinburgh Fringe.
I know. We'll need to see how his solo adventures are going. I don't know what he's up to. Paddy, when it comes to Camilo Duran, the performance on Wednesday, that seemed to be, you know, him really announcing himself in a Celtic shirt. How excited are you to see him in action again?
Oh yeah, 100%. You can tell, since like the Dundee game, I thought he was a bit, you can tell like maybe it wasn't a winger, then he was just obviously finding his seat, I think, from the last couple of games. I mean, he scored in every single game in pre-season, so you're looking obviously how he would actually perform at the big stage. Since obviously he's done, I think the Dundee goal, I think that's the game where they kind of sprouted from there, and then the two goals he scored were just unbelievable. It's just the technique of it as well. Obviously, he can play striker as well, but you can't replace him from that position now. There's no way he can do that now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Martin O'Neill puts that jigsaw together going forward, because Haseem Hassan has come in for a good fee. We all know, you know, what he did at the World Cup. He certainly, you know, looks an exciting player from the flashes that we saw the other night. But Camilo Duran's playing very well out wide. You've got Casper Hu, who scored a hat-trick through the middle. It'll be interesting to see over the next few weeks exactly how that forms and whether they have that set starting 11 or whether it's maybe more horses for courses.
Yeah, it's a really good problem to have though, isn't it? You know, you're talking about three players who can come and impact the game, whether it be in the Champions League or domestically for Celtic. Celtic will be fighting on four fronts this season, so all of them are going to get, you know, the right amount of football. Sometimes one of them might have to play to the left, and Yang coming out of the team. But they all just want to play. And when a team is winning, there's nothing better than going into it and showing that you can be a part of it as well. So, yeah, that problem, you know, is a fantastic one for Martin O'Neill. He'd rather have that than, you know, you have one player for each position and no real pressure on the starting players.
Paddy, with Alistair Johnson out until it looks like October, according to Martin O'Neill today, what would you do with the right-back situation? Were you impressed enough with Colby Donovan the other night that you want to see him get a prolonged run in the team? Do you think Celtic need to dip into the market?
Yeah, what I heard obviously from the performance from Colby Donovan, I heard he was absolutely solid from the game. I had a couple of good moments as well, but I think you can obviously drop Donovan now, especially obviously we've got Ralston in the back as well. That's obviously a bad error. I mean, it's an absolute heartbreak we've got Johnson's out top to open. He's just a replaceable player, but when we do, sometimes that's where you have that bit of depth and that as well. And Donovan's used to do that. He definitely answered a lot of critics last week.
Because this certainly could be a period that could be the making of Colby Donovan if he is trusted by the Celtic staff and he's put in there and he plays in a lot of crucial games and is given that time to develop. That's what we want to see for young Scottish players. But teams maybe don't see it as simple as that. They might see it as more of a risk because he's only 19 years old and hasn't played as much football. It's whether Celtic want to maybe take that risk and try and develop one of their own, or whether they end up going into the market for someone else.
Yeah, I think before the first leg last week and Kobe Donovan played extremely well in that game, I think there'd have been more pressure maybe from the staff towards the board about bringing a right back in. I think after seeing, I know it's only one game, seeing the levels that he did hit in that game, I think if he can have another good game tomorrow to back it up, I believe that they won't be too worried about the right back situation. Like you said, they've got, you know, Tony Rowson, who's played more than enough games that can come in and play also. And Alistair Johnson's out until October. So I think, you know, it'd be really good for Kobe Donovan, obviously, but I think tomorrow's performance will be massive in terms of what Celtic do going forward. I think there's other pressing areas for them where they want to bring players in rather than a right back, especially the way that he's, like I said, he performed last week.
Thank you to Paddy, 01419511025. I'll set up a teaser for these two next and more of your calls to come.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still plenty of time to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, looking ahead to a big game between Celtic and LASK Linz in Austria tomorrow. When taking a look at some of the transfer chat, we're going to look at the fact that Tony Docherty is a new Scotland under-21 manager with Stephen Naismith in as his assistant. So you can give us a call, 0141 951 1025. We'll set this up for the guys first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Yes, thank you as always to our sponsor Arcaplan Glasgow for the full-time teaser. Thanks to Noah in Paisley for sending this one in. Just six answers we're looking for. Can you name the six players who started in the opening weekend of the English Premier League who have previously played for either Celtic or Rangers? Silence. That's what we like to hear.
That's a good question, actually. I don't mind that at all.
Can you name the six players who started in the opening weekend of the English Premier League who have previously played for either Celtic or Rangers?
Christopher Ayer.
Christopher Ayer, correct, at Brentford. I'll leave you to it. Yeah. Give you some thinking time.
Yeah.
Since there was a lot of silence there. Mm-hmm. Did you hear Unai Emery's interview the other day, actually, when he was asked about Ollie Watkins potentially
hilarious
leaving? Yeah. And he literally just said the word to the reporter, silence. That was it. Just left it. Just left it.
Well.
Yeah. How do you respond to that?
And that was before the 4-0 defeat down to 10 men at Brighton without Ollie Watkins. So he opened up a little bit more afterwards. I'm not sure there'll be Christmas cards exchanged.
Not sure about that either. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's look at that Scotland under 21 appointment, shall we? Because Tony Docherty has gone in as the under 21 head coach, has obviously got managerial experience in Scotland. Maybe the more interesting part of it is the fact that Stephen Naismith has gone in as the assistant manager. He was not long ago the bookie's favourite to get the senior Scotland job. He had said himself he'd sort of expressed an interest in staying in the Scotland senior setup and being part of the management team of whoever came in next, but now finds himself as the assistant to Tony Docherty at the under-21s. That surprise you, Roger?
It did slightly. I wonder if it'd be a role with the senior team under Sebastian Pocognoli, but very quickly he appointed Kevin Morales, the former Everton winger, as his number two. He's worked with him before at club level. You know, Stephen will have been offered a job. He probably thought about it long and hard and decided to take it and be part of the SFA setup with Tony Dock. It's all under the sort of revamped plans of the chief football officer, Craig Mulholland, who has called the clubs to this summit at St Andrews on September the 4th. But one of the interesting things is when he's revamping the SFA's own internal coaching structure, with Tony Dock playing a role, Stephen Naismith playing a role, I think all of these coaches will be assigned about four clubs in Scotland. Stenhouse Muir may well be one of them, Marv, and it's their job to monitor the young Scottish talent coming through at those clubs and keep an eye on them with a view to them being promoted through the system.
What do you make of the appointment of Tony Docherty?
I was surprised, if I was honest. I just didn't know if he'd want to go into international football. I think it's a fantastic appointment. Been lucky enough that, you know, Tony came and spoke on our pro license, and I've worked with him on numerous occasions as well. So, listen, he's a man who loves football. He's constantly out now watching games, even though he's not currently in the job or he wasn't before today. I think it'll be brilliant for the young players. And I think having, you know, Naismith next to him as well, who's worked with a lot of young players at Hearts, a top coach as well. I know they only get the players for 10 days or so, but I just think it's a a real good partnership. I think they cover all bases between both of them. And, you know, Tony will be looking at it and saying, we want to win more games. We have to win more games. And I think that's sometimes something that's missing as well in I say, youth football, in 21s football. There's not a massive thing put around winning games. And the Scotland players that have been within those squads over the last few years should have won more games than they have. And I expect that to get ramped up now with Tony Docherty and Nasey going in.
Does it feel like a needed refresh, do you think, at youth level for Scotland? Scott Gemmell had been there for, was it around 10 years? You don't often see, you know, coaches in those types of roles for that length of time.
Yeah, Brian McLaughlin left, I think, the 17s as well, in that kind of youth role. So I think Craig Mulholland is going in and wants to do it his way. Clearly there's a feeling at the SAFA among the hierarchy that the status quo wasn't really producing what they wanted it to produce.
Do you think all this would have happened if Steve Clarke had stayed? Do you think if Steve Clarke had stayed that... Has Steve Clarke departing forced an overall reset amongst the...
I think the stuff below the national head coach probably would have changed anyway. Steve was very clear that he was the men's national team head coach, and that was it. You know, he wasn't technical director, he wasn't performance director, that was his job. So I think the stuff beneath would probably have happened whether Steve had stuck to that 4-year contract he signed before the World Cup or not. It just looks more of a complete overhaul because Pocognoli's in, Docherty's in, there's jobs there for, you know, another job for Stephen Naismith, and there's going to be this different coaching structure beneath.
0141 951 1025, if you've got any thoughts on that. Let's speak to Gary, who is a Rangers fan in South Queens Ferry. Gary, what are you thinking?
Evening, gents, how are you? Okay.
Hi, Gary.
Oh, good, mate.
Yeah, it's just a wee couple of points. Just about the Rangers team. It just feels as if, like, you know, all these players that are coming in and stuff like that, but there's so many players that need to go get taken out of the team to leave Ibrox. And there's so much talk about Fernandes going, Raskin going, and I just feel as if it's just, like, disrupting the team. I don't feel as if, like, McInnes's got his, like, 11, like, who can actually put out and, like... You know, I just feel as if, like, if there's, like, for instance, like, Chimiti, when there was, like, that talk of, like, £22 million from Fenerbahce before he got the injury and stuff like that, these players just need to, like, either, I think it's going to be a case of, like, waiting to see if we get through on Thursday night and then wait and see if these players are going to have to go. So... Yeah, I'm just like, I would keep Conor Barron, for instance. What do you guys think?
I mean, there are quite a few players in that squad that don't look as if they have a future at Rangers. And how tough is that to deal with as a manager? You know, if Derek McInnes is there and you look through the Rangers squad at the moment, you know, it's talk that Conor Barron doesn't have a future at Rangers. There's José Cifuentes, who's still there. There's Lyle Cameron. Clinton Insiala is still a Rangers player at this point. There's talk whether Nico Raskin's still going to be a Rangers player. Ross McCausland. There are quite a few players in there that will be in the building in training that are maybe uncertain about their futures.
Yeah, and that makes it really difficult from a manager's point of view as well. We're speaking about, you know, another team having a huge squad. Managers only really want to train with 20 outfield players, 22 maximum. I mean, you start going over that and boys are being told to go and do something over the other side, the harmony starts to go, you know, because it's one thing not being in squads when you're a player, but it's another thing having to train away from it. And it makes it really, really difficult for Derek and his staff. He wants players that he thinks can contribute to the first team. You know, these players, he's looking at them and doesn't think they can, and that's why they're being allowed to leave the building. You know, and listen... players' attitudes start to go as well. And right, so I've been in that position before as well. When you go into training, you don't know if you're training up with the first team or you're going to be, you know, we used to call it kind of the bomb squad, and it's players, maybe there might be 5, 6, 7 of you in there who are being allowed to leave a football club. And it's hard. It's hard doing that. So you need to be honest with these players, which he has done. He's trying to get them out of the building. Listen, we'll all have different opinions on Barron, for example, whether he should stay, whether he should be allowed to go. But Derek's made that decision, and that's why he's paid to be the manager of it. So I agree with him in a sense that you have to put your own stamp on things, and he's now doing that by, you know, slimlining the squad.
Gary's saying that Derek McInnes needs to find his strongest starting 11. Does he need to find the strongest system first to then find the strongest starting 11? Because it's been changing game to game. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that he's made a lot of changes at halftime throughout his matches. It seems as if with the number of changes that there have been in the squad this summer that he's still maybe unsure the best way to get this Rangers team clicking.
Listen, I know what you mean. I think he's won two games with a 4-3-3, so I think the 4-3-3 will probably be the system. I would expect Raskin to come back into the side at Jablonec on Thursday evening, and made a wee knock and didn't start the home leg. I think Dan Neil played in his place. Raskin will come back in, and I thought the game against St Mirren, you know, they still look as if they're going to give up chances to opposition, but the balance looked better. Raskin in the six, they had just in front, Chukwuane was back in the team, as was Dragojevic, just in advanced positions ahead of Raskin. Then it was Yokota and Gassama either side of Nadiri. For me, Shanklin's better than Nadiri. I know Nadiri scored in the last two games. I would have Shanklin in the team. And then you've got a back four of, you would imagine, Sterling keeps Nedeljkovic out of the team just now, Fernandez, McKenna, who started well, and Penrice, who started well. So there are shoots, green shoots in there for Rangers, if you like. The 4-3-3 looks the best balance for them, in my opinion. How you get Asgard into that, I don't know. Where Kim Min-soo plays, you know, does he go in ahead of which one of the wingers? We need to wait and see. Do they sign a striker, even one on loan, because of the Chirmiti absence? I still think they're short at centre-back. What happens if there's an injury to Fernandez or to Macania? Or, as Gary says, if Fernandez gets sold before the window shuts, are desperately short of central defenders. I think they need cover in there, even if it is just loan signings.
What does that best team, system, starting 11 look like for you, Gary?
See, to be honest, I'm being like realistic and stuff. Like I would rather actually go out on Thursday night. Absolutely, 100%. I would rather go out of that conference. If it would be different if it was the Europa League or the Champions League, but this other league, I would rather just focus on winning the actual like Premier League, Scottish League. I would rather keep focus and get players that can come in and then just focus on that. Honestly,
there's definitely an argument for that. I did a podcast earlier on today with Chris Boyd, and he was offering the alternative view. He says a club like Rangers needs to be in Europe. You need the credibility, the prestige, and you need the money, but even from the third tier competition, the Conference League. But when you see how close Derek McInnes took Hearts to the title last season, and a year when they didn't have any European football, and they get knocked out of both domestic cup competitions quite early, if you remember, and they could focus in the league, look how close they pushed Celtic. If Rangers were knocked out of Europe and they had minimum of 8 fewer games than Celtic, and if Celtic were to advance in European competitions, you'd be playing 10 games fewer than Celtic. That must surely give Rangers a better chance in the league.
This isn't Hearts, though. That's the thing for me. I don't
I know what you mean.
I don't think that they can afford to go out of it. When I say afford financially, they can afford it.
I see where Gary's coming from.
Yeah, I just think it affects the players that you can potentially sign. I think all of a sudden, every single game, if they get knocked out on Thursday night, every game, the next 2-3 games after that are going to be absolutely massive for the players. You can't afford an off day or an off night, whatever it might be. I agree with what Chris obviously said to you on the podcast. They have to be in Europe. The Conference League is one of those things that you can go far and you can go deep within it. As like I said, it allows you to get better players in as well. I just think Rangers, with no European football, you know, we're not even out of August yet, would be an absolute disaster.
There are fewer games as well in the Conference League,
league phase, there's just six.
So, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be as hectic a schedule, but I don't know. Gary, do you think that's a view that's shared amongst Rangers supporters? Is that something that, you know, you've heard other people say, or do you think that's maybe you're in the minority there?
I just think personally, like, they just need silverware. And, like, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. If we do get put out on Thursday night, and then we've got the games coming up against doubleheader with Celtic and stuff like that, but for the league going forward and stuff, like, we need silverware. I don't think that conference thing is I think that's a headache anyway.
Surely the players would rather be in European competition. It's a big reason why some players sign for, you know, some clubs like Rangers as a chance to play in Europe.
Yeah, if they had other moves elsewhere. And speaking about that, they go to Pataudry on Sunday as well. So if you lose on Thursday night and all of a sudden you've got a difficult game on Sunday, you don't win that's a real, real bad week for Rangers. I think it's unthinkable. It's not even something that, you know, Jerick McInnes or his players would even be thinking about, the possibility of going out of the Conference League. I get it from, you know, the overall thing. And if you can guarantee Rangers to win the league at the end of it, then that's very, very different. If they go out of Europe and all of a sudden they don't win the league and they don't win, that is, yeah, I think the, you know, Jerick McInnes will find himself in massive bother if that was to be, you know, the next couple of weeks for them.
You can probably spin it both ways, Roger, because there have been Rangers managers who have not done well domestically but have done well in Europe, and that's been something that's been sort of pinned up and shown, you know, that those were the successful times for them. But then you've got Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who got Rangers to a European final, and then the fact Rangers get into the Champions League and then got hammered quite a few times by high-quality opposition probably didn't help in the fact that he was then not getting the results at weekends. That kind of compounds what's going badly domestically.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wonder how many Rangers fans look back and wish, you know, they'd shown a bit more patience with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst when he was manager, having taken them to a European final and won the Scottish Cup. There hasn't really been two. I think there's been one League Cup for Philip Clement since those days. Amazing to think it's five seasons ago that Rangers got to a European final, when we're now sitting here debating whether or not they'll get through the Conference League playoff second leg. So for me, I tend to agree with what Chris Boyd said to me earlier on. I think Rangers need to get through. I don't think the three home games in the Conference League are necessarily going to be the glamour that maybe Rangers have been used to in European football, but you just need to take it on and see how far in the competition you can get and how much money you can bring in, Andrew.
Thank you to Gary. Let's speak to Sammy, who's on the other line, and Sammy is in Sweden. Sammy, how are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Pleasure speaking to you.
Hi, Sammy.
You too. Thank you. What are you thinking tonight, Sammy?
Yeah, I live in Sweden. I'm from England, but I live in Sweden. I've lived there for 21 years now. And I'd like to kind of follow up with the Swedish players, how they're going. So I want to ask Benjamin Nygren how it's going for, because I was a football coach for 15 years. And when you're in around working youth, I've been to Costa Cup, the biggest youth tournament in the world, where he played. I heard about him when he was 15, 16, coming up to the first team in Gothenburg. Just wanted to say your thoughts about his possibilities this season.
I don't mind that. Sammy's phoning in from Sweden to get a scouting report on Benjamin Nygren.
From Roger.
Well, listen, you phoned a night too early, Sammy. You should have phoned tomorrow night and get Gordon Dalziel, who's his number one fan in the country. He's done terrifically well. It was it 21 goals last season from midfield in his first season at the club? He started well again.
4-4 this season.
Yeah, I mean, he carries a great goal-scoring threat. It's incredible, Sammy. He hasn't really won over all of the Celtic fans yet. I think Celtic fans maybe don't think he's as all-action, box-to-box, energetic, dynamic as they would like him to be. But if you're scoring over 20 goals from the middle of the park, and I know it was a double-winning Celtic squad, but Celtic fans will tell you, a poor Celtic squad by comparison to recent Celtic squads last season. If you can do that, then the sky's the limit. And you wonder, if Nygren was to repeat this season what he did last season, you wonder how long it's going to be before he's the next Dyson Meyer or Arne Engels and will be sold on at what would be an enormous profit given what they paid the Danish club for him last summer.
Because as Roger says, there maybe have been question marks from Celtic fans over his overall contribution across 90 minutes. But I think I saw a stat from Transfermarkt last week which said no midfielder across the top 20 leagues in Europe has registered more goals and assists since the start of last season than Benjamin Nygren, 38 in total. I mean, you can't argue with that, can you?
No, you can't. He's a constant threat in the final third. And like you said, sometimes as football fans, we like to look at what players can't do rather than what they can do and do very well. I agree with Roger. If he repeats, you know, what he did last season, this season, I think, you know, Celtic will be in for big, big money, or teams will be in for him rather, for big, big money. And they'll get, you know, a top transfer fee for him. For me, he's been brilliant. You know, in that final third, like I said, he really does come to life. I think him and Hugh have struck up a really good relationship already. He plays off him, he goes in behind at times.
It's just the fact that you called him Hugh there instead of Casper Hugh was making me think it was Hugh Keevans.
Nah, not Hugh Keevans, definitely. He's definitely someone who couldn't come to feet or go in behind Big Hugh. What are you thinking about Hugh?
Thinking of what was said on Saturday.
I think we're best to leave that. Sammy, are you satisfied with what you've heard from the guys?
Yeah, I just found out about you guys tonight, so I really enjoyed the show. I'm going to carry on listening whenever, carrying on from now. I normally watch Celtic Rangers every year, the old firm, and then I do follow the Scottish national team as well.
There we go. If we've gained anything from coming in tonight, we've gained a new listener from Sweden. Don't leave that at all. Fantastic. Thank you to Sammy. Make sure to phone in again sometime soon. Let's get some work on this teaser. Can you name the six players who started in the opening weekend of the English Premier League who have previously played for either Celtic or Rangers? You have Christopher Ayer, and that is it so far.
Van Dijk.
Virgil van Dijk. Correct. Of course, Liverpool and Celtic.
What about Mikey Moore?
Mikey Moore, yes, started for Tottenham and of course played for Rangers last season. We'll get more answers next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final chance to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley here with me. Andrew McLean, all week one caller who gets on air will win a pair of tickets to Summer Sizzler at Ayr Racecourse Ladies Day on Friday the 18th of September. It includes a club badge, a race car, drinks and snacks at the bar. There's also prizes to be won in the Style Awards, including Most Stylish Lady, Gent, Couple and Most Stylish Hat or Headpiece. There you go.
Wow.
So you could be in with a chance of winning big.
Is that everyone that's been on the show today or just from now to the end?
We're doing it across the week. Oh, okay. Everyone on that got on today. No, not just one caller who comes up next. It might be them, though. Have you got any stylish headpieces?
No. Nothing at all.
Good, probably good. We've over 18s only. All the T's and C's.
You could be the style couple.
Yeah, me and you.
No, maybe not. You're not
backing yourself, Roger, no?
No. Style's never something I've been accused of.
Right, let's see if you can do some work on this teaser. Thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow for the full-time teaser. As always, can you name the six players who started in the opening weekend of the English Premier League who have previously played for Celtic or Rangers? So far, you have Mikey Moore, Virgil van Dijk and Christopher Ayer.
Matt Crooks,
yes. Probably the toughest of the lot at Hull City. Had a short spell at Rangers.
What about Daizen Maeda?
Daizen Maeda started for Ipswich. We have one more to get and we will leave it there. Let's take a look back at the only Premiership game that happened across the course of the weekend. It was the Dundee Derby and it was quite a statement win for Dundee, you'd say, Roger?
Yeah, they played very well. To go there, I think that's the third season in four, maybe they've won at Tannadice. So they know how to do it. But Stephen Presley, they're now joint top of the league, having played a game more than Celtic and St Mirren. It's been a fantastic start to the season. That goal that they lost to Benjamin Nigrin at Celtic Park, I think it's the only goal they've conceded in the league in those three games. And I keep saying to people, you know, that's good enough. But when you think that Elvis lost John McCracken, his first choice goalie, he lost his two centre-halves, Luke Graham and Billy Cometti, albeit for £2.5 million. He lost the three that played off the front, Cam Congreve, Jan Danda and Tony Yogan, and now he's lost Marv's mate Simon Murray to an ACL. That's more than half the team that played last season. And he can start with a new look team, playing the way they're playing, and listen, the sky's the limit for them this season. They've really impressed me so far. It was a blip in the cup tie at Pittodrie when they get knocked out, but they've settled well, and the board clearly are having Elvis, because when he's lost Murray and Ash Hay, they've gone and got him two new strikers, and I think there's another lad signed as well today on loan from Bournemouth, so they've clear centre half, so they've clearly got a united strategy there that's serving them well.
I think it's fair to say he wasn't the most popular of appointments when he first came in last summer. He hadn't managed since 2019, so he'd been a few years out the game. There had maybe been a couple of question marks, but certainly no question marks from Dundee fans now, just given what's unfolded over the last year.
No, there's not. And, you know, the way he's got the team, the way they've evolved, and they're super aggressive against Celtic as well, marking man for man at the back, which is difficult to do. They actually did that last season. We went to watch them, myself and Neil Hastings, when they played against him in one of the cup competitions, and took Celtic to extra time. And just like you said, he's been brilliant as a manager. David Longwell deserves a massive shout out as well, because he does a lot of the recruitment for them. So those two work, you know, ever so well together. You know, they trust each other immensely. You know, the players that they have brought in, like Roger said, there to replace the boys that they have lost. Because when you saw them lose those players, you thought they're going to have a real, real tough season. And listen, it might turn out that way, but the way they've started has been brilliant. Alan Forrest has gone back there as well. Looks rejuvenated. And another really good player. And they give players a chance to, you know, come into the top flight and show what you can do. And if you can do well, use it as a stepping stone. They don't mind that, because it means, you know, they'll finish higher up the league. So, yeah, it's been a brilliant start for them.
And listen, Marv knows what it's like to be an popular appointment, you know, and you're the man to give Stephen advice. Just win games, you'll soon win the fans round.
Yep, 100%.
A good start for Dundee, not so good a start for Dundee United. Got through the League Cup group stage, didn't have the toughest of groups, but hasn't gone so well in the league.
Well, 4-0 at Tynecastle, 4-0 at home to Celtic, 2-0 at home to Dundee. It is a difficult
despite the fact
start.
They got praise for their performance at home to Rangers on the opening
they did.
Day.
If you're looking glass half full, you can say their first four games have been the teams that finished first, second and third last season, and a derby. So it's only going to be easier from now on in, you would think. But I think Jim will need to look for signs that they are progressing. They were seventh last year. Naturally, he would be looking for a top six finish this year. He's got a lot of new players in. They haven't all quite settled the way we'd like, I think we're safe to say. But I think you're better judging Dundee United after the first, you know, third of games. Once they've played everybody, I think you'll get a better picture of where Dundee United sit.
I think an interesting quirk of the European games that we've got this week are that Hearts are playing on Wednesday instead of Thursday. They've got Rapid Vienna on that night. So
it's a wonderful week. Only one, yeah. Only I'm going to say one thing can go wrong, potentially two, but I don't think another one will. From a newspaper point of view, when you're trying to knock out a newspaper late at night, Marv, you know what you love? 5 o'clock kickoffs. Rangers, 5 o'clock, easy. Hearts, 5:45, easy. Motherwell, 5:45, easy. So I'm telling Celtic now, whatever happens tomorrow night, it must not be 3-0. We can't have extra time and penalties at an 8 o'clock kickoff. And Hibs, better not, your mob, phone them. Phone David Gray, your pal. We don't do extra time on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock kickoffs.
What are your predictions for those games?
Celtic through, Motherwell not, Rangers through, and I can see Hibs getting through, but they will need to play to their maximum, yeah. I think. Just Hearts away gives me the fear because they look as if they're going to lose goals wherever they play, even at home at Cannelly Thistle.
Yeah.
They look as if they're going to lose goals. They lost 4 away to Sturm Graz, they lost 6 away to Benfica. Rapid Vienna's last home game, they scored 8. So it's, I just think 2-2, it was exciting. It was, you know, a really good watch for the neutral at Tynecastle last week. I just think Hearts needed an advantage to go and defend.
Were you impressed with that result for your old side Hibs last week?
I was. Obviously, we came in from training and then, you know, kind of keep up to date with it online. I think it was a massive performance for them. And then, find out after the game, they actually missed a penalty early doors as well. So I agree with Roger. It's going to be a real, real difficult, you know, second leg. But if they perform to their best and, you know, the Easter Road crowd get behind them, then they can definitely go through that, which would be a massive achievement for the club.
What are your predictions? You asked Roger. Didn't put your neck on the line.
I'm very similar to Roger, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Very similar, yeah. The Hearts one, I think the Hearts might nick it. I think they could go through as well.
You're just saying that because they're coming round on a Friday night in a couple of weeks.
And we've got a co-op with them as well. Keep them sweet. No, keep I actually think sweet. They will. I think Hearts will nick it and go through.
There is work to be done on this teaser. You've got one more to go. I should say that there is an answer to this of someone that's starting a game tonight in that Fulham-Chelsea game, but the game hasn't happened yet, so they've not started the game. Calvin Bassey is playing for Fulham against Chelsea, but the game hasn't happened yet. The rest of the games have happened. Can you name the 6 players who started the opening weekend for the English Premier League season who have previously played for an Old Firm side? You have Mikey Moore, Virgil van Dijk, Matt Crooks, Daizen Maeda and Christopher Ayer.
Oh my days, Jeremy Frimpong.
Correct. That's Jeremy Frimpong is the correct answer. Thank you to Roger Hanna. Thank you to Marvin Bartley. But most importantly, thank you to you at home for listening along, for getting involved on social media, on the live stream, on the phones. We'll be back tomorrow night. Of course, a huge night for Celtic. It's kicking off the European action that we've got all week, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Celtic against Las Glens, 3-0 to Celtic on aggregate. And we'll take your calls building up to that match. And stick around because it is Gavin Pearson in for Callum Gallagher up next.